We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right, we are live. Welcome to the RGDFS Tournament Takes Podcast, Week 2 edition. I am your host, Chris Kirkwood. It's Kirk Dees here with my boys. First, the man, the myth, the legend, the notorious one, Noto, back for another week. And Bobby Gomes at Bobby Gomes DFS. Everybody knows Bobby. Bobby had a good week last week. Noto had some great calls. That Hunter Henry call was crushed it, especially with everyone playing likely. I hope some listeners had a good week, because like we were all collectively on the plays, right? Like Bobby and I said Tua, like that was my main stack, and Bobby went all in with Tyreek. Hunter Henry was the difference maker. How did you guys do overall for the week?
Now, do you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, had some good takes, had some bad takes, but didn't listen to Bobby and just, you know, stacked the highest total game of the week. It was almost that easy. And unfortunately, you know, called Hunter Henry on the show, and then, you know, once Mark Andrews went out, ended up playing likely instead. So bad week for me, but yeah, looking forward to week two.
Big Bobby, the man who pushed all in on Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I know. It was good hopping on the show with you guys and getting like everyone's feedback. Definitely went a lot to it. I think Kirky had Tua as his main stack, and that's where I was kind of put all my chips in. Very condensed, high pace. Noto, the Henry call, I used Bourne and Henry very much. I just played too much likely, which cost me like third place, I guess. Finished like top 20, but I don't know. NFL's hard. It was nice to have a good week to start off. Hopefully, carry it over in a week two.
All right, I'm gonna rant a little bit. I had a good week on Yahoo, a bad week on DK. I made money overall. I'm gonna call out Head Chopper in our secret chat, who totally bombed. All right, so I had the lineup the night before. It was beautiful. It was Tua. It was Tyreek. And like our chat, we have this Ravens fan in our chat who just infects everybody in there, right? With Lamar, like, right? And so Chop is so high on Zay Flowers, which was a great call, right? Like, like if Lamar had any kind of a game, Zay would have like absolutely crushed. He was good enough, but Lamar just tanked it. So I played the luxury box and I looked at my lineup and I had, you know, I changed all of it to go to Lamar, and man, I was tilting so hard. I was, and then I'm like, they're a run first team against the easiest run defense. This is the dumbest call. Like, you know, I was lighting them up in chat, and man, it hurt. But it sucks when you're on the right thing the right night before, and you know, and it was like so easy, right? Like it was like week one, they handed us a gift, right? Like the only good like high paced game where we knew all the condensed plays, right, that had monster upside. And not only that, the play that you wanted with that was like someone we should have been on anyway in Ridley, because we should have taken the gamblers, you know, like we should have backed one of our own, right? Like and he was like cheaper. And so like, it was awful. It was like the DFS gods tried to hand us a gift, and I blew it up for Lamar, an overpriced Lamar, 3%. I was looking at the ownership at first and I was like, this could be good. And then I was like, this also is just telling me I played the wrong guy. But anyways, onward and upward. I really like this slate for week two. How do you guys feel about it from just a quick overview?
Yeah, it seems it's this two fast-paced games, Kansas City and Jacksonville, and then Indy and Houston. I think those games are looking good. And, yeah, it seems like a week two that outside that a lot of these games are pretty slow-paced. So, you know, there's a lot of condensed usage too. No, can you elaborate more? I'm just trying to think through it. I'm just having a brain fart.
No, yeah, and earlier in the week, you know, trying to build lineups, it was really tough. You know, the pricing's a lot tighter than it was in week one, just because you don't have, you know, 3 weeks leading up to the start of the game, so you don't have that value. But it does look like we got some running back injuries that could open up some value, and then, you know, not as much value at receiver this week. But I agree on the pace up games. Also think the Bills and Raiders going to be pretty popular, but that one does have a lot of interesting pieces too.
Yep. So we got 12 games. So we've got KC for the highest total on the slate, KC -3.5 at Jacksonville. KC put up a loss in their first week was just tilting. I mean, they were without Kelsey. Man, like the rest of the options just looked rough for Mahomes, right? Like Tony was horrendous. Everybody was horrendous. I'm not a big Sky Moore guy. I never have thought much of him at this point, and I'm still on that take. But Kelsey's back this week, should be back this week. So that certainly changes things. You know, that should be a good stack. The Jags offense looked good. Ridley went absolutely bananas, and I believe him. He says he's going for 1,400 plus yards this season, no doubt about it, and I believe him. Like as long as he's healthy, he said, and I believe him. We've got the game below that from a 47.5 point total is Seattle at Detroit. The Lions are -5. The Lions looked good. That they beat KC. They're back in the dome. Bunch of weapons, bunch of good plays there. We got to talk about the running backs in that game. We'll get to then the next game is the 47 total, which is the Bills coming off of their loss. Thankfully, I bet on the Jets that night, and then when Rodgers went down, so I got lucky. I ran pretty good to win that one. Their defense is still legit as ever. Looks amazing. Breece Hall looks electric. But you know, we're going to always have to worry about what kind of usage is he going to get. And they're playing the Seahawks, who didn't look so great. They looked kind of boring, to be honest with you, but they do have a bunch of weapons in the dome. So I think this could be a good game. Bills, Raiders, Bills coming off of that. I'm jumping all over the place, but anyway, the Bills coming off the loss should be ready to take advantage of the Raiders, 8.5 point total. a lot of good plays here. Diggs looked amazing in that game, and a much should be a much better matchup for him. Cincy looked terrible, -3 against Baltimore, 46.5-point total. And then just a bunch of games. I guess the San Francisco at the Rams could be good. There's plays there. And then yada, yada, yada. From a pace standpoint, which you guys touched on, the three highest pace games that look to be by the blitz for most plays is Indy at Houston. It's coming in at the highest plays on the blitz. KC, Jacksonville, Seattle, Detroit. If you cross-reference that with over with ETR, it's the same three games. With Pat Thorman's piece that he puts out about pace. So I always like to cross those guys together. So those look like the three pace games, but we've got plays everywhere. So we're going to get into that. We're going to go position by position. I think we should go back to the original format and start with the running backs and then go to QBs, flow into wide receivers, tight end. Bobby will give his defense, which was the correct take. I just want to give you credit for. You said, typically, you would be in a fade situation for the Commanders at high ownership, but you thought you should go above weight. And, you know, it's funny. A lot of the people who usually would have the same takes were changing their tune once they ran their sims that were saying the same thing, that the Commanders were the play. So I thought that was interesting, but good call there. But, yeah, we'll do it that way. So starting about back from the running back position, some plays that stood out to me. And first thing we should talk about actually is we've got value again, right? We've got, we've got AJ Dillon potentially being a complete, you know, workhorse with, Aaron Jones should be out. Is he officially out or just should be out? I think it should be out.
I think he should be out.
Yeah. The big news today was Austin Eckler is looking doubtful. So that makes, Josh Kelly, another workhorse, tough matchup with Tennessee. I'll be interested to hear your guys' takes there. What are the key injuries am I missing? I know for like wide receiver, we've got like Jacoby Myers is out now, but what are some other key injuries that I'm forgetting to mention?
Anyone? I think that's pretty much it. Looks like Zach Moss is going to play this week and Evan Hull is out. So Moss might end up being the RB1 for Indy. Deion Jackson was pretty bad last week, so we'll see there. But not really a player that I'm interested in this week.
All right. I'm going to start right at the top here because somebody looked electric that we knew could always, that we used to pay 10K plus for, in Christian McCaffrey. And he saw some elite usage. He's 8,900, which is tough to swallow. And there is value here to be had. So we have to kind of make a decision on whether playing him or playing another, you know, top wide receiver, which you think is worth it. But he had 29 fantasy points last week versus Pitt. He had 22 rushes. He had 5 targets. He had no touchdowns still smashed. He's playing the Rams, which should be a good matchup. They allowed the most yards before contact last week. He saw elite level usage, an 88% snap share and a 71% route share. And he got 100% of the red zone snaps. So like he had absolutely elite usage. It's only week one, but the thing that stands out is that this was kind of a blowout game for them anyway, with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was never really in it. So I know that's going to be a concern this week again with the Rams, who overperformed last week, but you know, certainly I think the sentiment is that San Francisco should be able to run all over them and do anything they want with them. And there's the problem with McCaffrey also is there's a lot of weapons. There's Debo, there's Ayuk who went off. There's Kittle. There's a lot of weapons there, but with that kind of usage, favored 7.5 points. I mean, he could be looking at a monster game. So other than that, the next guy I was looking at is David Montgomery. Bobby knows this. Anyone who's listening to the pod knows I'm always a Montgomery stan. Most people, it's kind of rare in our industry, and all the best ball bros have always hated him for years. But anyway, he's 5,800 versus Seattle. I like him as a play. I want to get into talking about James Conner at some point. I also want to talk about Rashad White, who looks very inefficient, but looks like he's going to get a bunch of ownership. But those are kind of the plays I wanted to start, and then I wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on who are the guys you like. So, Noto, what are you doing with McCaffrey?
Yeah, I think I'm going to play a bunch of him. It's hard to really find a reason not to like him this week. You mentioned his usage. I was definitely surprised, you know, when him and Mitchell were both healthy last year. It was more of like a 60-40 split, and it was kind of like an 85-15 split in week one. You mentioned the game getting out of hand too, so I was kind of surprised to see him in there so much. But, yeah, good matchup against the Rams. We got value now, so I do think we can fit him pretty easily into lineups. So I think I'm just going to be overweight. I have him tagged right now. Hard for me to really find a case against C-Mac.
Bobby, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think Christian McCaffrey is the best running back on the slate by a pretty wide margin. So he's going to be someone I'm trying to get to. It does lead you in a situation where you're probably not playing one of these three big receivers, which is difficult because we get a couple really good ones on the slate. But I'm leaning towards McCaffrey as well.
All right. So David Montgomery, home favorite in the dome. Last week had 21 rushes, not very efficient for 74 yards, did get a TD. A usage, though, 79% of the snaps. And so I know everybody was kind of upset at the usage for Gibbs, and it looks like they're gonna you know, slowly keep implementing Gibbs, and he'll earn more as the season goes on. They're probably trying to monitor, you know, like for health reasons and whatnot, but and man, he looks electric. So I get that, but that kind of usage, home favorite, good game script in the dome, 79% of snaps, 4 or 5 red zone carries. Lions offensive line is ranked really high this season. So yeah, I like Montgomery. What are you thinking, Noto?
Yeah, so one of my takes this week is that Detroit kind of runs away with this game, so that would kind of play into that. I like pairing him up with the defense. I think Seattle's going to be without 3 of their offensive linemen. They just signed 41-year-old to start this week. I think it's Kelsey, a future Hall of Famer, but, man, it's hard to see him really playing well. So I think Detroit's going to be able to control, you know, both lines of scrimmage in this one, so I don't mind the call. I worry about Gibbs getting more involved for sure. Maybe I'll have a little bit of Gibbs as well. But, yeah, I think I'm going to be underweight on that game and just overweight on the defense and the running backs for Detroit.
Big Bobby.
Yeah, I'm with Kirk as a Montgomery stan. I guess I'm with Noto as well. Yeah, Montgomery, I think he's someone who's in a really good spot. Both offensive lines are kind of banged up, which would be my only situation. I know Seattle's is much worse than Detroit's situation. But yeah, I think that Gibbs will work in, but I don't see Montgomery really going away anytime soon. Like, we've seen this for 3 years with Swift, even though obviously Gibbs is a different talent than Swift. I just don't see Montgomery the way this coach Campbell seems to want to utilize both running backs. I just don't see him ever fully going away. So definitely playing some Montgomery.
Any other plays that are high on your list
From this game?
Just the running backs. Yeah,
so I like Jacobs a good bit versus Buffalo. I think that's a really good spot, bounce back spot. You're taking out Myers now, so it's Adams, Jacobs. That usage is going to be really condensed on the Vegas side of the ball, so I like that, and it's a positive game script for them, I would imagine. James Cook, I like him in that same game. My one issue is, like, is he just a between the 20s guy? But we've seen him, like, the high value touches might be in question, but he's going to get a couple of them, so I don't mind him. Rashad White was basically like pretty much Alexander Mattison-esque in terms of like his usage rate. And now he's getting Chicago, who Aaron Jones just absolutely lit up last week. So Yeah, like him, then Pollard. I think
he was going to break the whole slate too. What he pulled up on the his hammy pulled up on in the touchdown.
Who's this, Jones?
Yeah, Jones.
I made a mistake with Jones last week. He was the one guy that I wish I had more of.
Well, you're lucky that when you know that he hurt his hammy because he was gonna he was gonna absolutely smash.
Yeah. Didn't have enough of him. Pollard versus the Jets. I think he's good at low ownership. ETN, I wonder like what the situation is with how he's kind of worked in with the pass game. Like, is it something we just seen week one or is it going to translate over? Cause we haven't really seen it prior to like him entering the, well, prior to entering the NFL, he was utilized in Tennessee's pass game, but he hasn't been utilized previously enough. And then, yeah, that would be it for me. I don't know. Noto, you have any thoughts?
Noto's got a gem or two, I'm sure.
The only other guy that you guys haven't mentioned, Saquon Barkley, couldn't have gone worse for the Giants in week one, 40 to nothing. And Saquon looked decent. I mean, he was the only one out there doing anything. Now they get the indoor game against Arizona, who's, you know, tanking this season. So I don't mind Saquon. He is expensive. You probably, you know, got to play him over McCaffrey. But we've seen him break a couple of slates last year. And then just want to get your takes. What are you guys doing? Assuming Jones is out, are you guys playing Kelly and Dylan, or are you guys preferring one over the other?
I like Dylan. I worry about Kelly. I'm sure everyone's going to do this. I mean, Tennessee just looked like such a rough, they're just such a tough rushing matchup, and they looked the part again last week. So. And I just feel like they're gonna get the Chargers are gonna pass all game, but and maybe he'll be inefficient, but he should be a good play, right? Like bet on usage guy. We have a ton of these, right? Like we have like and there we have you know so he's probably the best of the bunch. But then we have Rashad White, right? We've got James Conner, who I haven't talked about yet, but like I need to make a decision. Just he's like the Bijan call. He's gonna be popular over on Yahoo because he's cheap. But he'll also be in the mix on DraftKings. People don't want to play him, but maybe that, you know, makes him an even better play. I mean, he got 84% of the snaps. He got 19 touches. The snap share is only – he was only behind – another only running back he was behind was CMC. You're probably going to want to play him while he's still healthy, you know, because he probably is going to go down at some point. And to back up your Saquon call, I mean, Saquon looked really good in that first drive. Were you watching that game? Like, so that first drive, right, they went up and down. They went all the way down the field. And then there was a false start or something. And then I don't know. There was like two key moments that were just stupid plays by the Giants that messed up that drive. And like, and then I think they got a turnover or something. But it changed though. Like, I wonder if they were just if they had just not had the false start and just scored a touchdown right away, if that game would have been a lot different, or if still like the cream would have rose to the top and the Giants stink and the Cowboys are legit and all that. So
yeah, they were about to score a touchdown and then settle for a field goal, got blocked, returned for a touchdown, and
yeah, that's what it was.
It's quick.
And I remember I was writing like I was like Saquon's got some juice, like right juice back right in the beginning. I was like saying and. Do you guys have a take on James Conner, or you're just like most people, not someone you really want to play?
He's not someone I really want to play, but he's someone that I occasionally do play. Giants run D isn't the greatest. 6,200 is not a bad price. I could see myself kind of playing him a little overweight, I guess, or at the field. I don't think I could put him in my player pool and play him at the field, which I think is like a cop-out answer, but I don't know. In terms of like Kelly, him and A.J. Dillon, I think I'd prefer Kelly because I don't think Isaiah Spiller is much of a threat as his backup, and I know Tennessee is a good run D, but I think he's going to see a significant workload. So I like Kelly at 5K. I think you're borderline. I think it's obviously a free square in cash. Dillon's in a situation where he could see a ton of work. He doesn't have anyone behind him, but I worry about how the pace of that game, like we seen last week with, Just like them running each it down, like the Packers game last week was a slog. This is probably going to be a slog because both teams are going to want to run the ball every play. So, yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts on those guys.
What about Rashad White, you guys?
I'm in on White, and I'm out on Connor. What about Mixon? I'm a glutton for punishment. I'm going to play some Mixon too.
Tough matchup, and so he didn't look good, and he never does. Like for most of last season, had like that one massive game where I think he went for like 50 plus fantasy points last year, and that was pretty much it. I mean, he had a couple of decent games throughout, but never usually looked good and didn't look so good this week. And then you got the Ravens. Good rushing D. So yeah. I don't know. I think I'm out.
We're all pot committed to somebody, you know, and I'm still chasing that big game for Mixon. So I'm going to get it eventually in week 16 or something. We'll see how it goes.
The way you play, I can feel you. I can see you falling into the Mixon trap.
Yeah.
All right. So you're calling it the trap, huh?
I fall in it too.
I know I'm going in the trap and I'm still. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Derrick Henry, like below McCaffrey, like 7,400 is a decent amount of savings off of McCaffrey in a game where DeAndre Hopkins is looking like he's going to be out. Is that kind of how you're reading it?
Yep.
Yeah. Why was Henry out snapped by
Spears? Yeah.
Was it just was a game flow thing?
I have no idea, but Spears is good. Like he looks all right. He's fast. Like, I don't know if that's actually. I don't know if that's actually not a committee. Even though the spot is incredible, the spot is absolutely incredible.
Running against the Chargers was a cheat code last season.
I think it's still a cheat code. It's just like I think Henry's a good tournament play at 7,400. Definitely have to consider him. Is Spears a good tournament play though? That's like kind of up in the air because he's definitely cheaper and. This defense is terrible. If he sees the same amount of carries, he could do well. I don't know. It's a tough call. I currently haven't like totally sorted it out.
I can get behind ETN. Oh, we should probably talk about Damian Pierce. End it with him. He has always smashed whenever they've been in like tight games. And this one projects to be tight. They're home. Favorites against the Colts, 5,600. I believe in him, and it's from a talent standpoint. Did have 11 rushing attempts last week. Let me check out the snap percentage share.
It wasn't great, but.
Yeah, he was basically a timeshare, 45% of the snaps, and then boom, 31%. Devin Singletary, 21%. So that's annoying. But it'll probably will be pretty lowish owned. I don't know. I think I could play him this week.
He's going to be a guy in a game environment that's very like indicative to good fantasy performances, right? Like, and he's going to be completely overlooked if it's going to play as fast as we think it's going to play. Like, I don't hate the call at all.
Same.
All right, Noto, any last running back, any diamond in the rough?
I think that's it. Just need you guys to shoot me a message like an hour before lock and say don't play Mixon. I'd appreciate that.
How much Mixon do you have?
I don't know. I don't MME like you guys. I build like five lineups. So
I know. I you know, it depends on my time. I MME, so I've MME'd on Yahoo, but I didn't have time for DK because I'm going through a move right now, which just absolutely sucks. Gave out 2 out of 3 winners for the people in UFC last week. So I'm going to end the show with a couple there more. It's a big, big card tomorrow night.
That I need to write them down this time.
I've smashed one. I'm feeling too confident about one, and so I'm starting to get a little scared. And DK limited me on how much I could do. It's crazy like how to deal with like the limits. It's like because I know I'm limited, but I don't know. It's like I can't double down. I can't add more to a bet once I bet it. I get like, that's it. It's like, I get one shot, but like, I feel like depending if I bet it on the day of the fights, like Saturday, it'll let me bet more as opposed to if I try to get in on a better price, like earlier in the week, but I only get one shot. So it's like, it's tough to predict that. It's kind of crazy. Throw in
like some five fighter parlays.
So I have a million parlay. That's what I did. So I do it. But I have a bunch of two man par, like a one fight, you know, like a bunch of different fighters with my pick that I will be giving at the end of the show. All right, let's move it on over to quarterback position. We've got it all this week, kind of, right? Like we talked about, we've got the value of running back, but we have like the high end great play of McCaffrey. We've got typically the two highest end quarterbacks, Josh Allen, when he actually shows up to play. I couldn't believe that Zach Wilson is now 2-0 lifetime against Josh Allen. Mahomes, we've got in that good game script with Kelsey back. I think that makes the huge difference. 8,300 is tough, but he's there, the high end. We also have Trevor Lawrence on the other side of that game. We've got Joe Burrow for 6,900, who was just putrid, just off, gutless. All right. Although he's not gutless. Because he's coming back from the injury, probably didn't do much preseason. I can give him a pass, but certainly didn't look good. But that might make for a reason to target with Baltimore. Cincy and Baltimore plays some high scoring games, if I remember correctly. Yeah, just like looking through like week 19. 2020. They play competitive games, it seems. They've had some big games, but more a couple years ago. Daniel Jones, I can't ever click that guy again. He's just
he is so freaking bad.
He looks like a doofus with his eyes. Like he's like, I always said he's like a country club kid. Like that's the problem. You know what I mean? It's like
people try to like force it.
Oh yeah, tried to force it forever.
We just mushed it though.
Yeah, but maybe we mushed it and then we'll actually get on by Sunday and then
hopefully.
Justin Herbert, you have to give an uptick with, depending on how they play it. I mean, Eckler is certainly a big part of the passing game, but you would think it sets up great for him with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. So I think I'm giving him a boost. Plus, Tennessee is like the run, like the same run funnel that they have been, right? Like the pass funnel that they have been because they're so good against the run. They certainly looked like that last week, so I could see him going off in this game. But so it's really, for me, it's kind of like from a first choice, it's Josh Allen, Mahomes, Trevor Lawrence, or Herbert. And then we can get in. Great call last week for Anthony Richardson, Noto. He played well. He put up numbers, and you were in early on him. But what are you thinking at quarterback?
Yeah, I really like the Herbert call. In terms of the matchup, yeah, Derek Carr, I think I've read, has two 300-yard games in the last 2 years, and one of them was last week in his debut with the Saints against the Titans. So, yeah, they're a pass-funnel defense, and you got to think with Eckler unlikely to play, they're going to lean even more on Herbert. So I like that call quite a bit. If you can get up to him, love Josh Allen, love Patrick Mahomes. I think both of those game environments are two of the best on the slate. I'll try to have stacks with both of those guys. But, yeah, I'm going right back to Anthony Richardson. He's their quarterback, and he's probably their best running back as well. We've talked about this game being hopefully fast-paced a few times already, and I'm not scared of Houston's defense. I know, you know, Lamar Jackson didn't do much against them last week, but he could have had three touchdowns. They just ran them all in with the running backs rather than Lamar. So I'm going back to Richardson. I think he just gives you a high floor at a cheap price.
You reminded me of all the tilt, the rushing touchdowns. Yeah, Bobby, you have a favorite from the high group?
Yeah, I think it's Mahomes. I currently have Allen ahead of him, but I think Allen's going to be the cash game guy. but I definitely prefer Mahomes in tournaments. From there, like I said, Allen would probably be two, then Lawrence, then Richardson, then Herbert, then Burrow, then Lamar, then Jared Goff. That's my expert ranking, CVR, if you guys want to go check that out. But that's the list I currently have. I don't know. For me, it's like that pace-up game I really like. I think I prefer Mahomes to Lawrence just because I know where the condensed usage is. We think it's going to be Ridley. I want it to be Ridley, but the narrative that people are putting in my ear about them trying to get Kirk going is like in my head. So that's if I have to pick like the two highest usage guys on the slate from that game, like Kelce and Ridley.
They certainly didn't try to get him going last week.
No, they've been trying to, so like the squeaky wheel almost, right? Like, yeah. That's what I'm worried about. That's what I keep hearing. So, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm probably going to have more Chiefs, right? Like, it just makes sense. You can get over on Tony. No one's going to play Tony. Tony's a great tournament play this week. He has a squeaky wheel. They'll get him in the end zone. You can pretty much almost guarantee it. Like, I don't see the Andy Reid, a good coach, speak around Tony. Like, Sky Moore is there. Like, people are just down on the Chiefs passing him. Whatever, I can play those guys with Mahomes, or I could just play Mahomes as a single with Kelce. I think there's definitely the opportunity to get two touchdowns. You guys hit on Herbert, Richardson. I'll leave you to Burrow, Jackson, and whoever you want, whatever else you want to talk about, Kirk.
Yeah, I just so at first I'm thinking like angry Josh Allen after a bad performance against a really tough defense on an island game. I feel like he's going to come out strong. And Diggs looked amazing and doesn't have Sauce on him this week. And it didn't matter. He went off. So, and he threw three picks. I don't think that's going to happen again, especially against the Raiders. So the Raiders play a lot of zone. He's had some struggles with zone in the past, but like it's good for rushing. He's had some good rushing games against zone defenses. And also, you know, the Raiders allowed the seven most fantasy points per game last season to QB. So at home, I think we gotta bump him up a little bit. Think that he's gonna come out and it's just so easy. You know, you just feel it just feels so nice with Diggs. Now, so that was what I was first thinking, but now I'm kind of leaning Mahomes. It's like I'm like, okay, so is this the game that like? Is the gift again, and I'm going to miss it. Like we got Kelce back. Like I can just do a Mahomes, Kelce, Ridley stack. And like, I feel like at least at this point, when I'm looking at like lineup builds, like how do I lose? But, cause you can still fit a bunch of, you know, we can get good value at the running back. We've got like some cheap plays, the wide receiver to fit around them. We've got cheap tight ends. If we want a double tight end, it probably won't, but, there's just a lot of ways to build that. So I'm leaning that way, but I have no problem going down to Lawrence on the other side. Cause I think the Jags are going to, I'm high on the Jags this season, their offense. I think their offense is going to be cooking this season. And I think we just saw it today. So I think Ridley's great. I've always been a Zay Jones guy. I've always played him when everyone says we can't. And you know, it's tough to say he can anymore after last season. And then after the usage numbers he got, and then, you know, you could also make builds with ETN cause he's just from a talent perspective could just absolutely go off. So I'm really liking that game both ways, or Herbert, but, I don't know. So I might just make this like a, I might just go heavy three max builds this week and play like three lineups and use like Mahomes, Lawrence, and either Allen or Herbert and just call it a day. I'm interested in everyone from a max standpoint. But so do you guys have any other plays? Like, who interests you below these guys?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
I don't know. So I don't know if CJ Stroud's playing or not playing, but if he isn't playing, then I will play some Davis Mills in that Indy game with those with like a Nico Collins or a Tank Dell. Stroud came up in the injury report. I don't know how serious it is, but if he was not to play, I think that's super sneaky come Sunday.
What about Lamar?
So Lamar, I think it's a good week for. I think they'll probably try to get. At least throw the ball this week. Do you some favors? They'll be throwing it week two and not week one. So yeah, I think they'll be throwing a little more. I think I'd prefer Burrow to Lamar just because I don't know, Chase and Higgins are going to get going eventually. So I don't know. They're like in the same range, same game. People are going to try to stack up that game as like the GPP game. I could just see it already.
We shouldn't discount the fact that Mark Andrews is going to be back.
Yeah, that too.
Like, that could be a missing piece right there. Because Zay Flowers did look really good, and they were manufacturing touches for him all over. And Bateman is still a speedster. Like, their offense should be good. Now, the problem is Lamar looked awful himself. Like, his accuracy, his fumbles, he was fumbling the ball, you know, just careless play, holding it in one hand. I don't know. No. What about Lamar?
I don't know. I played him last week, so probably should play him again. I think it's a good spot. I think this game could, you know, have some splash plays and then, you know, be one of the shootout games of the week. What about Brock Purdy? As you can either play him with C-Mac or as a leverage play off of him. He's got weapons.
Definitely. I was just about to add that was if you stopped talking, like if you had just been like, I was going to mention Purdy. So we're right on the same page. I mean, Ayuk was great last week. It seems like this is supposed to be the Debo spot. Everyone's pumping out the zone defense numbers for Debo last season because the Rams play so much zone. So, and I think I wrote that down too as well. So, I mean, but those are elite weapons. And plus you got Kittle back in the mix too. So, that's the thing though. It's like, How do we play it? Do we want to go against McCaffrey? Do we want to take Purdy, Debo, or maybe do a double with Kittle or Ayuk as well? Is there going to be any pushback from the Rams? Do we expect them to score much in this game?
I think if you played Purdy, you can play him with CMC has so much usage. Like if he throws him two touchdown passes, it doesn't matter if you double him. I would still try to double him because of the game script, but yeah, I'm not really sure. What's funny to me is this Detroit-Seattle game is a game that earlier in the week, like you ran optimals and their quarterbacks were popping and we haven't even mentioned them, which is interesting, but the O-lines are just a little banged up currently.
Yeah, this is the game that won Hoop the Millie Maker last year, right?
Yep.
Hoopster. I mean, you the thing there is that you have like such an easy pairing with Amon Ra.
Yeah, the Amon Ra seems like a really good play. And I think he's going to be someone that should be higher owned than what he ends up being based on how it seems the market's kind of trending currently.
All right. Anybody we missing? Anybody have some Justin Fields love, Jordan love, Russell Wilson love? Sorry, last week we said Mr. Incredible. That's because we were dead tired. We had recorded 30 minutes of a fake show that never got recorded.
Dude,
also, I've been watching The Incredibles with my kid, my baby, all the time. So he's in there. Sorry, it's Mr. Unlimited. That's what it is. My bad, people.
It figures Dean had to come out of the woodwork for that one and be the stickler.
It didn't sound right to me, but I didn't know what it was.
I didn't know. I like half knew. I thought it was right. I actually thought it was correct. Like, Kirk, you don't even.
It's so close. Unlimited, incredible.
Unlimited, incredible. It's like the same.
As long as you do the voice,
it's the same syllables.
Yeah. All right. But any love for any of those guys?
Not really. I did see Fields has like a rushing prop of 60 yards, which is pretty crazy for a quarterback, but I don't love his price.
Yeah, he's going to like, but then you just think back to last season and how he nuked. So like he started out like terrible. Yeah,
he nuked me.
He started out terrible, right? And so then everybody, so then he like goes off and then everybody's like, oh, all the fish got lucky, right? Like all the fish play went off. And then he just goes off and off and off and off for like the rest of the season. And nobody won. Once you're like, you're stuck in that rabbit hole fading them, you can't give in.
Like Noto is with Mixon currently.
Yeah, exactly.
Me too. Everyone with Mixon.
Yeah. Yeah, but they look like they have some line problems. They look like they have some chemistry issues. They look so. I'm going to wait for him to warm up, I think. And but it wouldn't shock me if he goes off. All right, let's move it on over to our wide receivers. Got a bunch of good plays here. So what's the high end? We've got Diggs at 8K. He just looked awesome. You know, he was incredible last season. So like what stands out to me in my head about Diggs is there was like a lot of games where like they just went away from him because of matchup. They didn't do it. And he was like always like complaining on the sidelines. Like he needed more. He was like being a squeaky wheel. And first game of the season, they go right at him with Sauce and whoever was guarding him. No one could stick with him. So that was a good sign. But I also, when I have those feelings in my head about last season, like him being kind of like complaining about some of his usage was absolutely elite. He was fourth in targets last season, third in receptions, fifth in air yards, second in TDs. And I feel like there's going to be more commitment to him this season. So I think this, like I said, I think the angry Allen stack is in play. Big game for both of them would make a lot of sense. So, and then over at Pro Football Focus, they have Diggs with the top 10 best matchup of the week. He's in the top 10 of the entire week, not just DFS. So like the Thursday through Monday. We've got Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's just ridiculous. Nine targets, which is nice. Had a touchdown last game. He had about a 26% target share. The thing that sticks out to me when looking through for stuff is that I have to remember how much better he always is at home in the dome. He averages 21 fantasy points at home, 21.2 versus 13 on the road. This is someone who's going to really step into the wide receiver one role, I expect, this season. So I like him a lot. Debo is kind of like the price play, right? Like, and which is funny because like you would think that everyone would just go back to Ayuk, but now we've got the narrative going about Debo against zones. Also, potentially because he didn't do much last week, there'll be more of a they'll try to get him the ball more in this game. Maybe there's some some game plan for him. So that's on the table. There's Keenan Allen, right? Especially now with like Eckler out, we got to bump like targets because Eckler got a lot of the passing targets. So Keenan is the obvious man under one. It's also a good bounce back spot for Mike Williams. Calvin Ridley, I'm going to stay on this guy. I feel bad that I betrayed him and didn't put him in my main lineup. As a gambler, I'm ashamed of myself for not like doing that. I should have supported my guys. I'm looking at him. We've got Devontae Adams with Jacoby out. We've got value with Puka, who like got Cooper Kupp usage. So like, what are we doing, Bobby? What are you doing?
Yeah, I like the Diggs call. I'm with you with Diggs. Keenan Allen. Did we talk about Keenan? Like, I think Keenan Allen's in a spot to where like you're taking Eckler out of that offense, going into the passing funnel. That is Tennessee. Like, I think he's in a really good spot. I think his ADOT was a little bit higher last week. I'm not positive on this, but just from the eye test, it seemed like he was getting a little bit deeper. Mike Williams did leave the game, so I don't know if that was pretty much a cause for it or anything, but he was out for a little bit and then came back. Yeah. Outside of that, like, I don't know. You could pay up for Chase versus Baltimore. I kind of like Higgins on the other side. Like, just – Higgins has the narrative where he's not getting a contract. Like, he must be a little bit disgruntled, I would imagine. Like, maybe they try to feed him. I think he's a little cheaper, too, so it would work out that way. Everything you said on Diggs is perfect. Ridley, I'm unsure about because everyone's got it in my head now that, like, it's going to be a Kirk week. But you're still playing all these Jacksonville pieces, whether it's Ridley, Kirk, Ingram or Zay if you're playing multiple teams. So not really a big issue there. Yeah, Zay Flowers, talked about him, 5K, like him a good bit. That's pretty much everything that I'm looking at. Maybe like you hit on Diggs, maybe Gabe Davis is in a good spot versus this Raiders team just because they have surrendered so many yards to the wide receiver. Well, they did last year, so. I don't know. Just thinking of guys that I could possibly hit my player pool.
What do you got, Noto?
Yeah, so I was just looking at the blitz right now, and the top four guys, Chase, Adams, Amon-Ra, and Diggs, are all projected between 21 and 22 fantasy points and all have between 13 and 17% ownership. So it's kind of just pick the guy you like up there. Yeah. I think Adams is going to be my favorite. You look at his underlying usage from last week, 35% target share, 48% of the air yard share. Now you take Jacoby out of the offense. I think they're going to be trailing in this one. So I think Adams is really good play. And then to your Keenan Allen point, I was just looking up his stats. So he had 43% of the team's air yards last week, which is usually not the case for Keenan Allen. So I think you're right about the ADOT. Kellen Moore's, you know, the OC there now, trying to push the ball down the field a little bit. Got the pass funnel. So I wasn't originally planning to play a lot of Keenan, but I think I might change my tune on that one, Bobby.
Yeah, I like Keenan. I think he's in a good spot. And the Adams call is great. What do we have for Adams' ownership?
17. So he's currently the highest of the four. But they're all pretty close.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's all going to divvy up anyway.
It really doesn't matter. They're all should be right in the same place. I wonder what people are going to do with Chase this week. I mean, he at least he had 9 targets last week. That was a plus. Well, I guess it's just right. It's what you feel about the Cincinnati bounce back if Burrow's going to step up or not. I mean, there's a lot of plays. Do we have any? You guys have any like love for the cheapies? Like maybe
I like Tony, like in the Millie, Tony gotta be a phenomenal play. Like everyone's gonna be off Tony. Just go right back to him.
There's still like Jaden Reed at 3,400.
He's good, yeah. Puka.
There's Puka for sure. He's gonna be chalk.
There's like Nico Collins. Josh Reynolds.
Nico,
I almost played him last week and as a run back. I didn't end up not running back. It doesn't matter, but I was dead with Lamar because of Chop. But
Noto just hit on Nico Collins. I think Nico Collins is a really good play too. Tank Dell is down there, and like if he is he 3K, like these receivers in this Houston game could get kind of lost in translation. And I know I said I thought Amon-Ra would be the lowest owned. I think Kirk, I think you're onto it. Like Chase is going to be the guy that out of the higher end that probably comes into the lowest ownership.
If Stroud ends up being out, is that actually a positive for these Houston receivers, you think?
I like Mills, dude. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a bad – like, he was a stud at Stanford. If he had waited a year, he'd probably be the number one pick. Like, he had a good rookie year. I don't know. I could play – no one will play him, and I'll definitely play him because it's going to be a pace-up spot. And
He was yeah. one of my Rainmaker elite cards last season.
Oh, was he? Yeah. Last year wasn't the greatest year for him.
Shout out to Squirrel Patrol for he's going ham on Rainmakers. He's
upset. Yeah, well, he went nuts on
all those packs. Cause I think what he did is he thought there was overlay. He thought there was overlay, right, with all the packs, and he ended up losing on it somehow. Even though he won the contest, the cards aren't worth it. I don't know. I couldn't remember. Yeah. I was just like happy to be out of Rainmakers this season. Like
me too.
Because every week, every Sunday, it would be like a race against time to like try to like get my lineups together. And because I would always forget to do my Rainmaker lineups. And I banked a couple tournaments, so I ended up doing well. But like it was such a relief to stay clear this year. Sorry, Ags, John.
Yeah, sorry, Ags.
Good friend of the show.
Do you know who our most tagged flex player is right now?
Who?
Nico Collins.
It's a good play.
Two of them are on the most show. Tagged? Us, Bobby and I, Vime 4 and Murray. So we'll see.
Zay Jones is going to smash again.
Zay's in a good spot.
What about Josh Reynolds?
Yeah, I mean, 3,700 is a nice price. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. He definitely has the connection with Goff. He's definitely the wide receiver too. That's not a bad play at all.
Why we're all on Nico Collins, huh? Wow, that can't be right.
Can't end well.
It can't end well. 4.8, 3% ownership.
It's got to be a cheese situation. Where somebody cheese picks them, and then all of a sudden everyone's looking at cheese and they're like, pick them. I gotta pick them in baseball. Anyways, all right. He's gonna smash. I just mushed him completely. All right, is there anyone else we're missing? I mean, there's obviously still tons of plays, but like any love for like Tampa against Chicago's D?
Yeah, you can play Godwin, I guess, but you have to remember like it's Baker and not Brady. So yeah, he would be my favorite, but I'm not running to get any of those guys in my lineups.
We've got the Cardi play. Sorry, I didn't mean to, but I'll say this and then you take it. Drake London, I was just going to ask you guys, you know, Cardi's pushing him on Twitter.
Got a goose egg last week, right?
Yeah.
He Tony Snelled. Yeah, I can – I honestly think we can go back to Drake London. Same kind of Tony – it's like the Tony situation almost, right? Like people are Drake down the snake. Yeah.
What are you guys doing with Puka?
I mean, I like him. I mean, 15 targets, 4,900. In a game they're going to probably get down in.
This is going to be the Higby spot. It's just going to.
You think?
No, or but Tutu. I mean, I played him last week, so.
What about Tutu? I mean, every tight end, the only tight end that really did anything was Hunter Henry.
I feel like on the other side, it's going to be the Kittle spot when everyone goes to trying to decide between Debo and Ayuk, and it's just Kittle.
Just double stack the tight ends in that game.
Yeah. Kittle Higby doubles.
All right. Speaking of Kittle Higby doubles, let's move it on over to tight end. where it looks like the chalk play is going to be Musgrave. And that's probably from a usage standpoint. So first off, the Falcons are missing a linebacker, Troy Anderson, so now it's the matchup gets even better. He had some great usage he led Green Bay in routes ran. So
eight and air yards, I think. Yeah. And air yards.
Fantasy points. Yeah. So four targets, three receptions. Aaron Jones out, who's big in their pass game. That was kind of the thesis of the Aaron Jones play, was that give him an uptick in the passing game and the fact that he can just go off. But with him out, I think that it makes a lot of sense. But so that's going to be chalk. Chig is going to be chalk too. Okonkwo. I think he's going to be chalk. He's projecting to be chalk, even though he goose egged. But I just feel like Kelsey's just going to nuke after being out and missing last week, coming back, and especially after they lost. I don't know. I don't really have any other conviction. I need to know what to do with these Musgrave and Chig from you guys. I'm going to be in on Kelsey if I can make that work. And then I'm open to any other plays because I don't have one. I'm open to Mark Andrews too. I feel like he's going to get forgotten about, but this is a completely different team with him there, assuming that he's healthy and sounds like a full go.
So my strongest conviction on the slate is Kelsey. Like if you roster Kelsey, you know all the usage from one team is likely going to him. You can play both QBs in that game if you feel like it, or if you want to play that game as like a secondary stack and get different at the quarterback position, because we hit on a bunch of different quarterbacks you could possibly play. Like, there's still the opportunity to do that. Fastest paced game. Like, I'm probably doing what I did with Tyreek last week and pushing the chips in with Kelsey. And just trying to get as overweight as possible. In terms of Musgrave, like, I think he's in a spot versus Atlanta where he's going to have to see more usage. He had good stats last week. Like, he's fine. I think the way to differentiate this build is to pay up a tight end. You hit on Andrews as a pivot. Like, people are going to forget about Andrews, like you said, and it's going to be a competitive game versus Cincy. Lamar's going to like having his safety blanket back. So I think the offense will also be more cohesive when you add Andrews back into the mix, just because of Lamar's rapport with him. Not that they were under the same – Todd Monken's a different coordinator, and they seem to be wanting to throw the ball to the outside more, but just him having him there will make it easier on him. We talked about Higby and Kittle coming into this. I think Higby's a good play. Interesting pivot off the Tutu and Puka stuff, which we also kind of hit on. Dalton Kincaid, I think he's in a good spot versus the Bills. You can get into him, Noto. I've already talked about too many tight ends.
No, yeah, Kincaid's my favorite play. Every year I say I'm not going to play the cheap chalk tight end, and I just did it week one with Likely. So I'm not going to do it with Musgrave this week. I'm going to play Kincaid instead. He's essentially, a slot receiver that's labeled as a tight end. He ran around on 67% of snaps last week, and you get one of the best game environments. So I do like Kincaid. And then to your Kelsey point, on DraftKings specifically, it looks like there's going to be about 60% ownership on tight ends in the 3K range. So if you play Kelsey or Andrews, automatically you're getting a different roster construction than most of the field.
That's and the chance that much.
The chance to just smoke them too. Yeah. Right? Like if they go like Likely and you get a monster game from Kelsey or Andrews, you're off and running.
The Cincy Baltimore game from a tournament perspective just looks really good in terms of what we're going to get for ownership between like Chase and these two like high usage guys in a game that could shoot out, like we kind of hit on at the top, and they're just not going to be owned at all.
I like it. Not to go backwards, but if Hopkins is out, what about Burks? Or do you guys play Chase instead?
No, I mean, I think you probably have to, right? Play him? Or play some of them? I mean, what, unless they're just going to stuff feed Henry all game.
He definitely has to hit the pool, I guess. I just – he was when I every time I played him last year, I had no issues rostering him. Everything I've heard is that they're down on him for whatever reason, or it just seems like the market's down on him. I don't know why. I haven't really paid too much attention to the Tennessee passing game outside of, well, yeah, I haven't really paid much attention to the Tennessee passing game at all.
Well, you know what we didn't pay much attention to, my bad, producer, is the ad read for Ticketmaster.
Oh, yep.
What a transition. Love it.
It's a good transition.
Bobby did so well in Ticket. From what I'm hearing, this isn't factual, but what I'm hearing, people are hitting the DMs. There's a lot of talk. They're saying that Ticketmaster sales may have tripled since the Bobby ad read last week. So hit
that's
the people
great.
With some more Ticketmaster.
Yeah, I want to give the people more memories. That's what Ticketmaster is made of. You're here. More memories are made when you're there for live action NFL. And when you need tickets, Ticketmaster got you covered. As the official marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster gives you more ways to find your perfect seat. Their interactive seat map gives you 360-degree previews of your section to make sure you have the best views of those pivotal plays. And if your plans change, the Ticketmaster gives you more flexibility to sell or transfer your tickets. Plus, mobile tickets make getting in on game day a breeze. And you can even customize your Ticketmaster app to rep your team's colors. Find tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NFL. It's a good read.
Great read. Check out Ticketmaster.com. All right, let's what are we doing? Oh, now you get the defensive Bobby Gomes defensive segment. So kudos to you for calling everyone called Washington, but you actually said you should go overweight on Washington and play it when the popular sentiment is always to just, oh, we can't play a chalk defense. So good job there, because that was the path. And what do you got this week? Who are you liking?
Yeah, interesting slate. For me, currently on the defensive side of everything, I need to talk for a little. I should have been more prepared with this defensive take. Let me look quick, see what I like. Definitely can't say the Cowboys, right? Yeah, they're 4K. I mean, I'm going to go.
They're cheap on FanDuel.
Yeah. I'm going to go the Buccaneers versus Chicago. Just Bucs D looked pretty good last week, week one versus Kirk Cousins. So I think at 3-2, I don't mind going to them. A little pricier this week from the 2-8 Washington defense, but I think we can make the Bucs work versus Fields. Chicago's offense didn't look great. Fields didn't look great. Definitely looks like he regressed as a passer. So I don't mind going with the Bucs D. That's the D I'm going with.
All right. What about cheaper? Another cheaper play. What about Arizona's going to get some love, and the Giants are going to get some love on the higher end. Maybe they aren't going to get some love, but I've seen them written up as having a big mismatch there. But Arizona is certainly going to get some love, I think, because they're 2,600 and the Giants just look so awful. And when Daniel Jones is throwing the ball, they're always live for a pick six.
I could play Arizona. I could play the Giants. I think both D's in that game. I'd probably lean Arizona because we know how Daniel Jones is, like you said. What about the Jets at 2-7 versus Dak? Dak would love to throw a few picks. The only issue is it's in Dallas. If it was,
I mean,
in
that
New York,
defense looks so good. I'm not scared of that. I could do that. The only problem is that Dallas is so good, but or should be so good. But we didn't see. We don't know yet. The story hasn't been written on Dallas. They have fooled us many of times before. You know, this was just a week one against the Giants. Anyone standing out to you, Noto? I mean, what about like super cheap, like dumpster diving here on DK? Who would that be? That would be the Raiders against Buffalo, maybe Titans.
Yeah, Titans are projecting well. I don't know. I don't love any. I like the Lions a lot. We talked about Seattle missing three linemen. Lions' strength on defense is their pass rush. And they're going to give up some points for sure. But I was reading some today that, you know, if you're going for defenses that don't allow points, you're just wasting your time, because some like 2% of games end with 6 points or less for the opposing offense. So just chase guys that get pressure on the quarterback and create turnovers.
Like whoever you want. There's no real standout, right? Like, can we all agree on that? There's no like absolute standout.
It's only an issue when something's like really chalky, right? Like we had last
week. Yeah, like Washington last week. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like the Lions call. Yeah. The Lions are a really good call.
All right. Let's take it on out. Get us out of here on stacks. Let's give a Millie Maker stack. If you are only playing, you know, just trying to hit it. Or and then a small field stack, you know, maybe higher dollar, and then we'll get on out of here. So Noto, kick us off.
All right, large field. I'll go Anthony Richardson and Pittman. Bring it back with Nico Collins. We didn't talk about Pittman, but had a pretty good game. Was clearly Richardson's favorite target in that game, and we've talked about the pace. I mean, that projects to be one of the fastest paced games. Small field stuff, I think you just go Josh Allen, maybe Kincaid instead of Diggs, and then bring it back with Adams. Or you can double stack him just fine.
Bobby, what do you got?
I'm going to go Mahomes, Kelsey, and smaller field stuff. In larger field stuff, if Stroud sits, Mills, Nico Collins, run it back with Pittman.
I was thinking Mahomes. I think I'm going to go the other side. I think I'm going to do it just like the Tua play. I'm just going to take the other side and take Trevor Lawrence with maybe a double with Ridley and Zay Jones, and then throw Fit Kelsey in there and then see what I can do from there. I think that works for high dollar and like single entry stuff. And I also think it works for large field stuff. But if I had to give a chalkier one, I have to go back to angry Josh Allen and Diggs. If I was, you know, another small field, and then the Millie Maker play, it's gotta be someone who's going to totally shock the world. I think I'm going to go back to Noto, Brock Purdy's call, the Brock Purdy in large field stuff, and just try to hit it right. Try to maybe. I mean, you could do a double with Debo. You know, you could do CMC, but I probably wouldn't. I think I would try to just get it with the double with Debo and Ayuk, or Debo and Kittle, and then run it back with. I mean, who? I mean, you have to run it back with Puka, right? Like, who else? I mean, maybe Tutu. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. But all right, went a little bit over tonight. I think we brought the energy a little bit up to whoever said to bring up the energy and chat.
Screw you. Understand it's 9 p.m. on Eastern on a Friday. Look,
I'm up to my head all day. Moving. I got a baby. I'm up to my head with boxes. I'm itching my nose all show because there's like dust I've been cleaning up, you know, like from moving. The energy get up.
Send us out with your UFC picks.
Oh, forgot about those. Okay, UFC picks. 2-1 last week. I am hammering Kevin Holland against Jack Della Maddalena. JDM is like an overhyped prospect who, with a couple of different outcomes that were could have very easily happened. He wouldn't even be a name in the UFC at this point. He's a very good boxer. He pressures a lot, but I think Kevin Holland's a better everywhere. I think he's a better striker. I think he's got the kicks. He can hit the shot to the liver. I think he can keep him at range. I also think he can grapple with him if he wants to. And that's where I'm on the fade for JDM from his career. So I think this is the spot to take him. So that's my pick. I'm going back to Valentina Shevchenko. I bet her at -166 earlier today. Line is going up a little, but it's kind of moving all over. I'm really scared about this pick because the girl she just lost to is good. But I think Valentina is going to be ready. And this, like, everything's working against the fighter she's against is Mexican. It's Mexican Independence Day. The car was built around her. The crowd is going to be all for her. Also, Valentina's getting old, but I think that this is a different situation. I think she dominated the fight and just got not dominated, but should have won the fight pretty handily and just got caught in a sub for doing a stupid spin kick. I think she's going to be focused and ready. I worry about her like getting robbed of a decision, but anyway, that's where I'm going. And then I'm betting Lacerda as an underdog +180 to +200. So Noto, get Kevin Holland in if yeah. I can give you one play to focus on. But Daniel Da Silva / Lacerda, I think is going to win as well outright. He's +180, but you might get back up to about +200, but it'll be somewhere around there. So those are the winners. That's our show. We will catch you back next week for week 3. Good luck, Bobby. Good luck, Noto. I hope we get some tournament wins this week. I know we will throughout the season. Bobby was super close to the Millie Maker. Stay out of those queues.
Yep.
Focus on get in some of the other stuff and crush it. I only play queues when I'm hot. Like
I just gotta stay away from, dude. If you've seen what I blew in queues the last 2 years, you'd be. I didn't even sniff a seat for a queue last year, and I was, yeah, staying away from the queue contest for sure.
Well, if anyone sees Bobby's lineup in a queue, make sure to tweet at us.
Tweet at me. Do not enter a queue. My girlfriend keeps telling me do not play queue. She actually told me before I got on the show.
Yeah, I'm with you. I if I'm like rolling hot, like if I'm hot and I got money to burn and then like I'm feeling it, and I'll jump in some, but like they're my last priority whatsoever. All right. Thanks guys for doing the show, sticking with us. This has been the RG DFS Tournament Takes Podcast, week 2 edition, and we will see you next week. Thank you.